Hello and welcome to the West City Church podcast. If you'd like to get to know us more, find us at westcitychurch.com.au. We really hope that you're encouraged by today's message.
This is Peter. I'm sorry I can't be with you in person because of illness. Haven't been able to get to church for a couple of months now. That's actually what's prompted my reflection on communion today. Well, because I've really missed it. Missed church, missed my friends. But most of all, I miss the sense of community in the as we come together to the table. We talk about the table quite often and of course, we take it very seriously at West City, but it's actually not just a thing, not just a point of acknowledgement or a routine thing. It's life. It's the difference between life and death. Our communion is not only with each other, but with Jesus and with all the people of God. In principle, it's with all people and all creatures and the whole earth. As this is Aboriginal Sunday, I'd like to acknowledge the Noongar people, Ngala Kadich Noongar Mort, Kai and Kardak Nijabuja, meaning acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people as the original custodians of this land. We respect the Noongar elders, past, present and emerging. But I want to say that to all people, to refugees, to people who are new to Australia or new to the Christian faith or new to anything, that the welcome you receive ought to be wholehearted and full. No one is excluded from the table at this place. So it's a very simple message. I hope you can mean it as honestly and as seriously as I do. And I look forward to being with you eventually when this wretched thing finally is over, one way or another. Anyway, God bless you as you meet together at the table today. Reminded each other of how important it is that we come together with one another and with Jesus to celebrate being his body on the earth. God bless you all.
Can I move this? Is that all right?
No. I'm standing.
I'm doing it. Doing it anyway. Whew. Oh, hey, good morning, church. Hold on. We good? Josh, where do I stand? Here? I haven't done this for a while. I'm a little rusty, so bear with me. But thank you so much for being in church this morning. You could be anywhere. I just assumed most people would be out for like brunch or hanging out somewhere else, but here we are. Hey, Nansen Street, Wembley. It's great to be here. Look, many of you I have had the pleasure of getting to know over the last few years that I've been at this church, and many of you I don't actually know beyond yelling out your name when you order a coffee. So thanks, Hannah, for your love that you give me at the coffee station. Most of my time here at West City is spent on a different platform, and that platform is usually out the back behind the coffee machine. And everyone that likes a good coffee said, amen. Good. I got some friends here this morning, which is great. But nevertheless, someone thought it would be a good idea to trust me with a microphone this morning. They need a lot of prayer and deliverance because I'm going to try my best this morning to not offend every single man, woman, child, and whoever brought their dog to church. Hi, Loris. We love pets here at West City. Has anyone noticed the sudden influx of puppies after Christmas? I'm here for it. I'm just like, we become the puppy church, which is amazing. That's something we can put on the website. So a little bit about me. I love Jesus. I love his church. I love this place and all of its muntedness. But I actually have a full-time vocation outside of making coffee on a Sunday, and that is usually in the advertising and marketing space in the corporate world. I've spent a number of years in the past in vocational ministry, and I'm what a dear friend when I was in Bible college. He was Italian, and all of his broken English, he came to me one day. He said, Jackson, and I'm hoping this will give you a good snapshot of where this message might go. He said, Jackson, you are a genuine idiot. And that's really all I can offer this morning is some love, some laughs, some hopefully insight into everything that my idiot side sometimes seems to sneak in with. But I have been a self-proclaimed born-again Christian for about 20 years this month. I was going to say, that deserves something. Anyone been a Christian longer than a month? Anyone not a Christian yet? Okay, we can sort that out now. Bow your heads, close your eyes. But seriously, 20 years this month, I actually gave my life to Christ, or made that first decision. And I say first decision because, as anyone knows who's been a Christian more than a day, it actually is a daily decision to follow Christ. But that 20 years ago, I was about 5 kilometres from here in a place at that point called Challenge Stadium. It's now called HBF Stadium, is that right? I'm looking for some confirmation. I'm going for that. And it was at a Planet Shakers conference. Does anyone remember Planet Shakers? Point to the Planet Shaker on your left. Yeah. Give me a G, you got your G. Anyway, it was hype. There was people with their hands in the air like they really did care. there was a lot of, bought a Kawasaki, should have bought a Honda, if you know what I'm talking about. A lot of things going on in that place. And to be honest, when I gave my life to Jesus, I was completely unaware of what the road ahead would be like. I often say that from the point I gave my life to Jesus, is where things got hard. I was 12 years old at the time and a whole teenage hood ahead of me. So if you thought this sermon today was going to be one of me marketing and advertising Jesus, you'd be far off the mark. I'll leave that to my 9-to-5. However, if you do see me after the service and give your life to Jesus, I will throw in a free set of steak knives. Is that right? Anyone need some steak knives? But for real, when I gave my life to Jesus, things did get a little bit hard. And as you can see, the idiot has already started to come out. So I thought I would get a little bit of a show of hands of who's been at West City for quite a while. Let's say quite a while. That's good. That's good. Who's been here for, let's say, at least a week? Who's come to West City before? Who's very first time here at West City? Wonderful. That is great. That's awesome. Welcome. Welcome to the family. We like to keep it real at West City, so I'm going to try my best to do that. And within what I do today, I've got a simple mission. And that's to try my best to put some thoughts together to hopefully bring some encouragement to each and every single one of us, no matter where we're at in our faith journey. Give some insight into my 20 years of my Christian walk, limp and crawl. And in 20 to 93 minutes, is that okay? Somewhere in between there. I actually forgot to start my timer, so this could go anywhere. I might as well we'll get rid of that. That's useless. So if you're like me and grew up in a tongue-speaking, hand-raising, hollaback-style church, you may appreciate some of my sermon today, mostly because there's 4 challenges that I'll ask for each of us to reflect on, and you better believe they all start with the same letter. Is that all right? Just for easy remembrance, recall, we'll go down that path. So before we get into that, I thought we might open up the Bible. Is that all right? Okay, 2 people think it's all right to open the Bible in church. That's good. We're going to go to a scripture, Luke 8 and verse 16. In the New King James Version, the real version, no, Probably the most, I mean, it's debated, right? I have a friend, he recently went on The Bachelor. This is a complete side quest. His name's Wes, and they labelled him as a theologist. And I'm like, what is a theologist? But anyway, he would often say that the New King James Version is the, his Brazilian context, was the easiest to understand because it was most like the Spanish, which then came from the Latin, which then came from the Greek, which then came from the wherever, depending on which side of the Bible you're reading. So the New King James Version, they say, is probably the closest in translation to the original text. So I thought we'd start at the start, get really confused, then unpack it. Is that all right? Cool, let's do it. So in the New King James Version, this parable is known as the parable of revealed light. I mean, it's pretty good for summer, right? Parable of revealed light. It says, no one, when he has a lit lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed. Anyone know what heed is? I'm still trying to figure it out. How you hear, for whoever has to him, more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. For a bit of context, this scripture is right smack bang in the middle of Jesus throwing out some pretty cryptic illustrations, parables about how people should be thinking and living. And I thought that what better time than the start of the year than to get stuck into what I believe speaks into that space and what we can learn from it. So in that chapter, I feel like it's fairly self-explanatory. I guess we can kind of close the service there and call it a day. Is that all right? Or is anyone else just as confused by reading that scripture about what the heck is Jesus talking about? What is this light that is making a comparison to? Everything that's not known will be known, my deepest inner secrets. Anyone else on that path of confusion? Because that's when I first read it, I was like, hey, cool story, bro. But at the end of the day, it's a little cryptic. It's a little quirky. So I thought we'd unpack it. Let's unpack that. There's another version of the scripture called the Amplified Version. And I like this version because it seems to give like some little footnotes when you read through it. So if okay, we'll read that and see if we get any more clarity. Is it okay if we read a little bit of Bible this morning? We're going to do this three times, three different versions, and hopefully make some sense, but we'll go there. This one in the message, in the AMP version is known as the parable of the lamp. So not necessarily the parable of revealed light. They have gone for a different angle, which is the parable of the lamp. Just a lamp. Steve, do we have a picture of a lamp? We're not talking about your average run-of-the-mill lounge room lamp. We're talking about one of these things. So when we're talking about this and we mention the word lamp, we're talking about probably a kerosene lamp, even beyond that, potentially even just a bare-lit flame in some instances. So we'll read from the Amplified Version. Now, no one lights a lamp and then covers it with a container to hide it or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a lampstand so those who come in may see the light. Fairly similar to the New King James. But some good clarification there that you would normally put it under a container to hide it. For there is nothing hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come out into the open. So be careful how you listen. For whoever has a teachable heart, to him more understanding will be given. And whoever does not have a longing for truth, even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. Now, that gives a little bit more clarity as to that, the meaning of some of that scripture, but I thought we'd just skip over to the Message Version as well. In the Message Version, which a lot of people debate even is a version, it's a bit more of a paraphrase of the scripture, which in my terms, I would like to call the Bible for Dummies, which is probably my version of the Bible. I love this version sometimes because it just gives me the meat and potatoes. It gives me the stuff that I probably need sometimes. So let's read this. No one lights a lamp and then covers it with a wash tub or shoves it under the bed. Good advice for a flame, am I right? That'll preach. No, you set it on a lampstand so those who enter the room can see their way. We're not keeping secrets. We're telling them. We're not hiding things. We're bringing everything out to the open. So be careful that you do not become misses of what you hear. Generosity begets generosity. Stinginess impoverishes. What did I miss? That's what I said. Misers. And all the misses in the room, sir. You can call in on that one, Georgie. That's fine. Essentially, this scripture, the title of this one is The Misers of What is Heard in the Message version, which, again, not about the lamp, not about the light. The reason why I like the New King James version more than anything is because it talks about the lamp that is revealed, the parable of the revealed light. So this morning, if I was to title this message anything, I would like to call it New Year's Revelations, the New Year's Revealing, the New Year's things that will become revealed if we look at these challenges that I'm about to put forward and hopefully find something that Christ can reveal to us in 2024. I'm not sure if you're like me, but the new year seems to roll around and it can feel like a bit of a fresh start. Despite of what the last year held, there's a degree of relief when one year ends and another begins. Anyone else feel like that? A bit of a relief? So we end up doing this really interesting thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, and it's probably existed since the Roman Empire created the Gregorian calendar, where we set goals and resolutions. They generally look like making a weekly donation to our local gym. Or maybe even starting to eat some healthier foods until that 8 p.m. craving for that cheeky cheeseburger kicks in. Anyone else start to set some New Year's resolutions around the start of the new year? I do, every year. I've found in the last few years, I've tried to interject the temptation to do that. The reason why is because generally to resolute or to resolve a resolution, it is fueled by a feeling of motivation, which motivation can only take us so far. One thing that I've tried to do more than anything is really set up my new year with a revelation of what could be, what Christ wants to do. So I stand in front of you to say you're not alone in setting resolutions, but I believe there's something greater in the scripture that doesn't just speak to self-fulfilling, self-feeding resolution, but speaks to the power and the impact of revealing light. That don't just affect us, that don't just change our lives, but can change the world around us. So as the scripture says, nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. See, I've often heard this scripture and it's kind of been used in a way to scare people and even myself sometimes into a kind of guilt trip to either turn or burn. You know, nothing that's inside will not be known. So if you're sinful, sort it out. Bring it into the light. Show the world. Confess it to a brother. Or pay the consequences. I don't actually feel like Jesus is necessarily going down that route with the parable, but is actually going into a space to talk about not just the bad things in our hearts or in our lives or sinful things to be revealed, but also the good. Also the great revelations are to be brought out into the light. And so I want us to take on board four challenges. Four challenges that will hopefully allow us to see something new, see something revealed. And the first one, if I'm to ask us to do anything, is to reflect. In order to find a new revealing, a new revelation, sometimes it takes a little bit of a look back to be able to move forward. To reflect and ask ourselves, what did 2023 and prior reveal? What actually took place in 2023? Reflection on a year or a period of time can be really hard. Some of us may have had the worst year of our lives. Some of us might have been plagued with loss, frustration and hurt, be filled with situations that we just didn't know how to deal with. Then there are others of us that may have had the best year of our lives, filled with mountaintop moments where we're like, there is no way that year could have become better. So why bother reflecting? Why bother getting something new when I've just had what was great? Can I encourage each of us, no matter what has been there, there's new days ahead. Sitting in the reflection of the secret feelings, the things that we feel on the inner, bringing it out into the open will allow a Christ-sized revelation to take place, whether it was good, bad, ugly, or in between. There's a space that is there when we take it to Jesus where we can talk about how we truly feel about our year that allows a Christ that suffered, a Christ that also experienced great miracles, to be with us as we walk through this year. So challenge one, reflect. Spend the silent, still moments this week. Take time to reflect and take stock. Challenge number two is to reform. This is a bit of a scary word because generally in church when we talk about reforming or reformation or that idea, generally it's followed by bloodshed. It's the reality. It's painful. It's painful to change. It's painful to reconfigure, to reform. And the question that follows this challenge is, with the reflection in mind, how can we learn from it? Once we reflect, it's not just a matter of reflecting and sitting in that, whether it was good or bad. It's a matter of going, well, okay, I've reflected. I've sat there and I've learnt something, or I now know something. How can I then take this into my new year and move forward with this? How can this form, how can this reflection turn into a point of revelation? It can't just stop at a point of reflection. It must influence our lives, influence our actions, influence how we go about things and how we maybe drive our car. If I'm reflecting on last year, it's just a year that I got very frustrated behind the wheel. In reflection of that, my reformation coming into 2024 might be to just breathe as I drive, not get the road rage too festered up. In many ways, the resolutions we can often set for ourselves aim to reform, but I honestly believe that the reformation of ourselves and the world around us can only truly happen with a deeper sense and understanding of a revelation from Christ. Take the lessons of yesteryear, take it to the cross in prayer time. Literally ask Jesus, how can I learn from this? There might not be an audible voice, there might not be a sign that falls from the ceiling that puts something in front of you that teaches you how to learn from it, but even the consciousness and allowance of Christ in that space may just open up a doorway and a space to be aware when Jesus is moving in the lessons that we've learned. Another question to reform or to reform how we go through 2024 is, what needs to change in my life so 2024 is great? Some of what may be as simple as, without being too cliche, to quote the prophet Carrie Underwood, let Jesus take the wheel. Allowing Jesus to take the wheel, to really be a part of those instances and reforming processes where our first port of call is, man, Jesus, I've reflected on this, I've gone through this, I've lived through this, now I really would like to reform. We can't just do it in our own strength. We can't. We need to do it knowing that Christ is with us. He's with us in our pain, he's with us in our hurts, he's with us in our miracles, and he's with us in our best moments and our celebrations in life. Christ is with us. Let's be a church this year that is driven by the power of knowing a Calvary-shaped love is what will motivate us to be the change makers in our workplaces, schools, unis, and our homes. Is that okay? Can we do that? Can we try? Can we just give it a go? Challenge number three is to refract. It's a strange word. I was looking for one that started with R, to be honest. But in all genuineness, I feel that this word really does speak to what I'm about to challenge us to do. The reality is the great revelations are never just for us. What I love about Jesus more than anything else is he really didn't leave any cards on the table. He didn't hold back. He didn't just, you know, come up with a great idea and keep it to himself. The scriptures are not a personal diary of Jesus. They're accounts, the Gospels particularly are accounts of what Christ did in the world, and a lot of it is filled with him talking. Now, for me, that was Jesus' way of refracting the knowledge and the revelations that he had. My favorite summary of this scripture is in the Message version, which is why I put it in there, to say, we're not hiding things. We're bringing everything out into the open. So be careful that you don't become misers of what you hear. Generosity begets generosity. Stinginess impoverishes. And I think that's a really beautiful illustration of the purpose of having a revealed light, having a revelation of a light in our lives, a revelation of what is lightful in our lives is actually not to just keep it to ourselves. It's not just to reflect and to reform ourselves, but it's to refract it into the worlds that we live in. I've learned a very hard lesson over the years, and it's this. Whether I like it or not, revelations are not just for us. As we set sights, reflecting and reforming, we must remember that refraction of the goodness and graciousness of our revelations in the worlds we live in is what the purpose of them are for. To put it practically, I really love this quote by, and I stuff this guy's last name up every single time. It's a quote by a guy named Leo Buscaglia. Is that right, friend? Buscaglia, silent G, of course. Pardon my ignorance. This is the quote. Too often, we underestimate the power of a touch. A smile, a kind word, a listening ear. An honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. Let me read that again. Too often, we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. I actually stand in front of you today as a product of refraction of God's goodness and grace and love shown through others. Me and Phil often laugh. Sometimes he laughs, I'd cry, about the wild times of my youth and the miracle that it is that I made it out alive. That's Phil's words, not mine, which I'll save for another message that I may or may not get to preach here. We'll see how this one goes. But when I reflect on my teenage years or my youth, I can ultimately sum it up into simply the miraculous actions of a few weird Christ-loving youth leaders that took time to speak encouragement into me when I needed it most. Summarizing a few moments, when I was young, I had a family member that tried to commit suicide. And in that time and period, the one memory I remember through that period was, yeah, going to the hospital, visiting that family member. But I mostly remember my youth leader taking me to McDonald's, and it was the first time I ever tried a chocolate frappe. And it wasn't necessarily the frappe, it wasn't necessarily the words, it was the small act. It was the small act of caring that ultimately helped me change my visual on that situation, that revealed something to me that was of much more light than the darkness I was experiencing. It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing, the idea of refraction of light, to be able to give to the world what sometimes you don't even feel like you have enough of yourself. But I thought I'd take a minute this morning to maybe put it into practice. Is that all right? I, through my time of preparing this message yesterday, just asked God, and this isn't to get weird and strange in church, but If you know anything about the Pentecostal church, you know where I'm going. I asked God, as I'm speaking this morning, reveal to me people that I can encourage. And so as I've been preaching, I'm getting things just dropped in, just little tidbits. So I'm not going to get weird, but Tara, you are loved. Like, and I didn't even think to invite you in a bit earlier with this in mind, but you are so loved, not just by your friends and your family, but by people that don't even know what is on the inside. And that love that people have for you is not because of anything that you've done or will do or can do or will do. It's purely because of the fact of who you are. There's a spirit of graciousness, a spirit of kindness, and a confidence to you that people see and are engaged with. So keep being who you are. Don't be anyone other than what you have the sense to feel and to walk into in your every single day. Keep being kind, keep being generous, and keep being confident in who you are. You're loved. Stu, where's Stewie? Stu, cooking Stu this week for Phil and Kaz. I love you, man. You, I remember the first time I met you, I was like, this is a guy of realness. A man of not just stature and boldness and confidence, but a man that is welcoming and generous with his time and his spirit. And I'm thankful for that because God knows I need that. If there's anything I need, it's good mates, and I'm going to get into that in a minute. But when I think of someone reliable, dependable, honest, and straightforward, I think of Stu. Love you, mate. Sam the man, there you are, bro. The one, the only, fisherman, fisher of men. Mate, you are a legend. Stand up. Just, yeah, you. You're the only Sam in the church. What? What did I miss? Oh, no, there is another one. Yeah, you're right. Okay. No, I was talking about the one that actually fishes. To be honest, mate, you are... I am so encouraged by who you are, your realness, your genuineness, your ability to walk into any room and immediately have the attention of the room. And that's not because you smell like fish. It is... But what there is a scent. There's a scent to you that is kind, that is bold and fearless. And I'm encouraged by that whenever I get to see you at church or on Instagram with fish that show your muscles in places that I don't even have places. So thank you. And one more, Luca, I know I'm embarrassing you, bro. I'm sorry. You're a good man. That's all. No, I'm joking. No, genuinely, I'm thankful you're a good man because this world needs good men. You're in this weird stage at the moment between boyhood and manhood, and that's confusing for the best of us, let alone when you're living it. And I honestly believe this year ahead, you will get to show your manhood. And I don't say that in a weird, toxic, shut up, Theo. In a weird, like, toxic masculinity way, I mean, manhood is so much more than, this is going to be weird, I'm sorry, Kelly, than what hangs between our legs. But rather, manhood is the strength that we can give to others. It's the encouragement and the generosity of our hearts offered in sacrifice to others. And I have a feeling after 2023, a question you have is, how much more do I have to give? I've given enough. I'm a little bit spent coming into 2024. I've got a full year of school ahead. My challenge to you this morning and encouragement is take hold of everything that comes your way. Do it with your very best. Do it with integrity. Stand up for what real manhood looks like. Because you got it, bro. You're a good man. Is that all right? Love you. Refraction. It's hard. It's hard work. That's why it's a challenge. Last point. This one's even harder. So this is like a degustation meal that, you know, when you're eating it, you just slowly get more and more tight in the stomach and it just starts to hurt a little bit. Just me? Okay, that's the reflux. Celpraz, go to your doctor, see it today. This one's really hard and is a real challenge and specifically chosen for us at West City. And I don't say this lightly, I really had to look at this one because this could be offensive, but essentially number four is relationship. The question that follows this one, or the statement rather for this challenge is great revelations. Nah, get back, Steve. Relationships, that great revelations are best done in relationship with others. This is last because it is one I don't believe can ever genuinely be mastered. I almost said be bastard. Now I've said it. Be mastered by many, me included. But God knows and willing, I will never give up trying this. The reason we have coffee in the foyer is, I didn't like the coffee before, but that's irrelevant. The main reason, and what I speak to all of the people that help on coffee, is that the greatest taste we can leave in anybody's mouth at the end of a service is not just a good coffee. It's community. It's to create community. We have roles on the coffee station out the back. You've got the barista, the assistant barista, you got the milkman. Then we have two roles that I think are the most important roles in the entire system of what we do. We have, who can tell me from whose serves? Go for it. Yeah, the general manager of first impressions. You nailed it. The general manager of first impressions. And we also have one more role, which is the person at the end, and that's the general manager of last impressions. To be honest, those two roles are the most important roles we have on that coffee station. And I often have people come up to me and say, hey, I've made coffee for years. Put me in, coach. Show me how I can sling some spros and whip some milk, and I'll help. And my positioning is, that's great, but what I need more is people who love people. I need people who are willing to be the general manager of first impressions, which is a much more higher responsibility than whipping up some milk and slinging a spro. That's coffee vernacular for making an espresso, sling spro. Anyway, it's weird. But in all genuineness, this relationships piece, I often say that Jesus, no one ever talks about Jesus's greatest miracle. Does anyone know what it was? Greatest miracle that Jesus ever performed. We're in church. Anyone that's been in church more than a week? Water to wine. Rising from the dead. I've got one that beats both of those. Next. Anyone on this side? Jill Jance, what do you got? Greatest miracle. Feed the 5,000. Stop cheating. My honest impression is that the greatest miracle Jesus ever did, that he ever had, was being 32 years old and having 12 really good friends. I genuinely believe that is the greatest miracle Jesus ever showed us. The reality is that for many of us, friendships and relationships are damn hard work. And whether it's your first day here or your 343rd, I can guarantee if you haven't been challenged on being offended, upset, challenged in a friendship here, give it a few more days. You might. It's not our pursuit. Hear my heart. It's not the pursuit of West City to upset you anybody in this community, am I right? But it's a part of life. It's a part of life. But a choice has to be made. Because relationships are hard, does that mean that we do not keep a Christ-style love in the center of trying to make them work? That's not to say that boundaries when it comes to having relationships with certain individuals aren't necessary, but allow Christ to reveal which ones are worth pursuing and which ones' pettiness might be taking a foothold. I'm preaching to myself up here this morning too, guys. So what can we do about it? Well, simply put, after we take time to reflect, commit to reform, refract to the world around us, we choose Christ-centered relationships, all of which will produce, I believe, the most robust revelations any of us could ask for in 2024. Let's not hide our light under the bed. That's just dangerous for more reasons than one. Wash tub, maybe a bit more appropriate. At least that might put a flame out. But still, don't hide your light this year, church. The good stuff that you have, the revelations that God brings to your heart, your mind, refract into the world. Let's gain revelations that allow us to share the goodness and kindness in our worlds to others that may gain a revelation of Christ as well. Let's not be held back by years gone, but let's bring revelations into our worlds and this community in 2024. Is that all right? Can we try that? I'm done. I'm gonna pray because, like, I particularly called these challenges because they're challenging. And if it's okay, I'll just pray that all of us have the strength and ability to at least try one of them. It's four there. They all start with the same letter. Should be easy to remember. But I'll pray anyway. Lord, thank you for all that you do in our lives, the good, the bad, the ugly, the things we get to reflect on, the things that drive us to reform, the things that allow us to see a light revealed that we might refract it to the world around us. Help us this year, Lord, to be in relationship. Not just with those that we like, as we'll say in the benediction, but even those that are challenging to like it best. Help us to have boundaries where boundaries are necessary. Help us to see your light revealed in our New Year's revelations. We thank you for everything that you're doing in this community and everything that you will do this year and in years to come. You're faithful to us, God. Please help us be faithful to you too. In Jesus' name, amen.
How good was that message? Thank you so much for joining us. Each week at West City, we say a benediction together. We do this because we believe that the purpose of the church is to be a caring community for the world, and that as we go and serve others, we enter into Christ's work of welcome, restoration, and healing, both for us and others. We believe that in doing so, we get to see and encounter Christ. So let's say the benediction together. We come together as the church to be reminded of the go of Christ. So we will go out and feed the hungry, go out and clothe the naked, go out and fight for justice, go out and end oppression. Go out and proclaim anew the old, old story. Go out and associate with those who don't look like us, think like us, act like us, and don't even like us. And we'll do it all in the name of the one who sent us. His name is Jesus.